This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center is our fabulous producer. This is WKOK Sunrise. It is the 7th day of January 2020. In the studio with us now, Colleen Epler-Ruths is here. She's a Shikellamy physics teacher and computer science teacher and enrichment teacher.
You got it.
And a 2019 Teacher of the Year finalist. Now, I guess fortunately she was named as a finalist. I guess. Unfortunately, the award went to somebody else, but it's just fabulous. There's super superlative teachers in Pennsylvania, and one of them got recognized along with some other folks. So welcome aboard. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks.
I do appreciate it. I want you to come back once a month and just give me some good words about what superlative education is and what we can do. Maybe something that Shikellamy's doing, other folks aren't. There's probably something Shikellamy's not doing yet that they could be, so we're going to keep talking about this. Mark Freeman is here. I call you the new principal. How long on board?
Since August.
Okay.
So a couple months.
Oh, yeah. So definitely this is your first year at Shikellamy, the new principal of the Shikellamy High School. And we see you patrolling and walking around and listening and monitoring and chatting with students and being a bit of a mentor at times for students. Is that part of
Absolutely.
What you
it's
do?
Absolutely. A large part of the job is being a mentor to students. And I consider myself an active principal and like to be out with the students. And I think that's where principals should be.
And you just walk around. See, I have a little spy in the school.
Okay.
Says, you just walk around and look and look and look, hands folded behind your back, looking in the classrooms. What are you looking for?
Just trying to observe teachers teaching and kids learning. And I think you can learn a lot from watching and listening to people.
And how many kids in your building?
A little less than 900 students, about 850 students.
And by now, let's see, here we are January, you recognize every single one of them.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Yes, we're getting there.
But you know quite a few?
Yeah, we're learning quite a few names. It's just exciting to be here in the district. I'm really loving the job and loving the people I work with, and the kids are awesome. So, but we're getting to know the kids as we get out to the events and get to meet their parents and people from the community. I'm learning lots of names.
And you walk, you get up in the morning super early, so you didn't really have to get up early today to come in for this interview.
No, I'm up pretty early and get to school pretty early. So
you're in the building 7-ish or so anyway?
I'm usually there right around 6:20, 6:25, yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Cray-cray, as the kids would say.
Yes, that's what they would say.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for being a great principal. We hear just super things from the school. So
okay.
That's,
thank you.
I have a lot more questions. I have 100 more questions for you, so don't lean all the way back away.
Thank you.
But Colleen Epler-Ruths, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Tell me about being Teacher of the Year. What was that all about?
It was a long process. One of my colleagues in the district had nominated me, and it started with, an email that said, hey, you've been nominated, which just floored me. And they said, here, fill out this long list of essays. So last Christmas, I spent the whole Christmas holiday writing up these essays. They were asking things like, what sort of community service I do, how do I work with my students, how do I get them career ready, the expectations from Pennsylvania, how do I increase my own education, and what have I done about that. And so that was, and they gave me a rubric, so I was able to sort of tailor my essays to make sure that I checked all the X's and Y's. And then about in February, I got an email that said, congratulations, you're now a semifinalist. I'm like, whew. So now we're going to do a taped interview with you with people from the Department of Education. And here's a list of questions, and plus there'll be some extra ones. So the whole idea is they're grooming us to see, because if you become the Teacher of the Year, you become a spokesman for all of the teachers in the state. So I made it through that interview and was notified in April, something to the extent that, hey, you're one of the finalists, and that's one of 12 teachers in the state. So quite an honor. I was completely floored and flabbergasted and, just couldn't believe it.
Well, I know what you said on some of those answers. We happen to be members of the same church.
We are.
So we'll just say that. So I know that in the pews we call you Dr. Ruth. So you've been continuing your education, got your master's, and now you have a PhD.
I do.
What's your PhD in?
My PhD I got from Penn State. It's in curriculum and instruction, science education. I specifically studied how computers, images help students learn based on the student's spatial skills. So spatial skills are what students are able to do in their head, and science is an extremely spatial discipline, that's the word I was looking for. If you can imagine molecules in your head, that's chemistry and physics, you know, projectile
in
motion and forces in three dimensions, and geoscience maps. And so students, we've known for a while that students that have low spatial skills do not succeed very well in sciences. It is a learned, you know, growth mindset. It is a learned skill. So if we can help our students learn to be more spatial in their heads, they can find more success in science.
And you've been around the world.
I have been.
Literally. Studying, conferencing, teaching, presenting.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You're a go-to for a lot of people who say, how can we do this even better?
Oh, well, thanks. Well,
Well, it's true. I'm just telling you. I told you I was going to tell you some things that we already knew.
The biggest fun I've had is not my own travel, but taking students traveling. I've myself and my colleague Yvonne Monahan have, for 14 years, every other year, we take students overseas to exotic places to learn not only about the geology and the fauna and the flora of locations, but about the cultures. And so seeing students awaken to what's beyond the Susquehanna Valley is one of my biggest joys.
Well, yeah, you if they are thinking spatially, you take that space and, as they would say,
exactly.
That was me taking my hands and moving them outward in a big hurry. So
some of the fun stuff is getting below the equator. So we've been to Ecuador, Peru, Australia, New Zealand, and the stars are different down there. So even getting them to think about, you know, hey, you know, you're looking in a different direction in our sky. And pointing out the Southern Cross, yeah.
Well, and you're one of dozens of superlative teachers in the district that are pushing and thinking and learning and making sure and taking kids and getting them to think big. What do you think about this, Mark?
This is fantastic. I mean, we're so proud of Dr. Ruth's and, you know, just being nominated through the process. And, you know, it's such a credit to her hard work and dedication to the students and the profession. And, you know, it just was, we went down I was down there with her at the Teacher of the Year. And it just, the group of 11 other teachers, along with her, the 12 teachers total, just were amazing. It was very inspiring. And it just really kind of energizes you to see the positive direction that Pennsylvania is going educationally, so we're very excited, but very proud of Dr. Roos and you know, all her effort. I think it's just a credit to, you know, all those years that she put in and what she does for kids. And, you know, her student that came to speak on her behalf was just so moving on the difference that she made in her life. And that's just one example of many students that she really impacted over these years. So just great, great job to her.
And you have seen this when this kind of work and this kind of preparation and this kind of mindset pays off, and for a kid, the light goes on.
Yeah, that's what it's about. It's about igniting the passions, and it's amazing when students get that passion ignited about whatever they're learning. It doesn't have to be science. It could be math. It could be social studies. It could be something in physical education. But when they really get excited and they take off, it's what we're in education for. And it's amazing what students can do once they get that kind of spark ignited in them and they get a passion.
Yeah, tell me about this spark. You can't even sit still while he talks about it.
Well, he's right. That's the reason I get up every day, is to go in there and to not only get those students excited and to see the world in a new way, which is what I tell them when they take physics. I'm like, you're going to not look at the world the same way when you leave my class. And they're like, yes.
Whatever.
Whatever, but they do. They're like, oh, no, you've ruined it for us. not that, but they do look at it differently. But in that same way, it's to be there for that kid that's having a bad day and to let them know that there's someone there that cares about them.
Mm. Well, tell me about the connection. Now, he has 900 kids, so he doesn't know everybody by name yet. But I guarantee you by now, all the enrichment, all the computer science, and all of the physics kids are named and and memorized, and you know a tiny bit about them.
Yep, that's one of the hardest things to do is to get to know your kids. But I stand at the door when they come in, and I try to greet each one of them. And if I say, "Oh, you don't look like you're having a good day," you know, "How's your day going?" And so I try to you know, see what they're up to and learn where they're working, see if they have dogs. We talk about brothers and sisters, so to know something more about them than just a letter grade.
Pets and family, and appearances and demeanor, all of these are telling to you, which can adjust the way you talk and react. And, of course, you're just glad to see them and to kind of be connected to them a little bit.
Yeah, and I even stand out in the hallway and talk to kids that I don't know. I decided a couple years ago that I'm going to say hello to as many people as I can in the hallways, because it's pretty easy these days to walk by each other with our faces in our phone. And we don't do that in the school anymore. We have our phones put away in the hallway, which is wonderful. But to catch someone's eye and to say, "Hello, how's your day going?" Even a student I don't really know. I think that makes a difference.
Well, we're talking about lots of differences, and we're going to keep this conversation going. Believe it or don't, the first 10 minutes just went to by while you guys were blinking an eye over there. But I'm just so glad to say Mark Freeman is here, the new principal at Chicoutimi High School, and Colleen Epler-Ruth's physics, computer science, enrichment teacher, and 2019 Teacher of the Year finalist. We're coming back at 7:40 with a lot more questions about how we can even more connect to and motivate students. Maybe if there's anything that we're just going to have to abandon someday that's not superlative anymore, well, I guess we'll talk about that. One of our listeners sent us a text, says, "What about kids in single gender classrooms or uniforms?" So I'll ask that question. Why not Mark primarily, but Colleen may have studied this and seen it around the world as well. We're going to keep talking education, superlative Chicoutimi education when we come back. And welcome back to WDKOK Sunrise. We're right in the middle of our interview with Colleen Epler-Ruth's is here, a Chicoutimi Physics Enrichment and Computer Science teacher, 2019 Teacher of the Year finalist. And I put down in our description that she's a woke educator. So how about that? Anybody can be a finalist for Teacher of the Year, but to be woke by my standards, that's pretty good.
I don't know if my kids will say that.
That's their nature. Okay. And Mark Freeman is here, the new high school principal at Chicoutimi High School, very often seen just patrolling the halls, making sure and learning and picking up every clue. Is that what you're looking for when you walk down the hall? Your hands are folded behind you, and you're just looking left and looking right. What are you looking for?
I just think it's important to be out in the school, you know, the kids come up to you, ask you questions, what's going on, and just being available to them, observing them. You know, just like Colleen mentioned earlier about saying hi and hello. Just kind of being a pleasant face in the hallway, and obviously just monitoring kids' behavior, making sure they're doing the things they need to do, but also being out there for teachers too. You get a lot of great kind of hallway conversations that go on about you know, what's going on in the school, activities, events coming up, things that I'm discussing as a principal. But you kind of have those sidebar conversations about teaching and learning, and you know, about how to work with kids better.
How do you help teachers take education up a notch?
Well, I think it's a collaborative effort. I don't think it's just me. I think we work together. You know, right here sitting next to me is, you know, a doctorate of education, a science education. She's an expert in the field, and I don't have to have all the answers. I have to work with them cooperatively and really work with them together to, you know, push their professional development and really have them work together collaboratively and really develop the best possible education for our students. So I think it's a collaborative effort. It's not just top down. I think it's sideways and working together with the teachers and really developing the best education we can at Chicoutimi.
Communication, words raise up everybody in that building, the high school.
It's really important to communicate, yes. And the communications happen in the hallways. Like, I have a hallway, so when classes are changing, I can look up and down and see my colleagues, and that's just just nice to know that you're not, like, isolated. You do have people around you. Emails and ways of passing words around that way work well, too.
What did you learn this year so far?
Oh.
It's only the seventh day.
Good heavens. Oh, this year. Oh, golly. That's a hard one.
Well, but other teachers are talking about things. Or perhaps, let me change the question a little bit. What have you talked about that's new this year that you've talked to some of your fellow teachers about or students that would kind of raise up education?
Well, I guess I could talk about some of the new lessons I'm working with in my students. So my physics class is about to start energy. And so before we start energy, I work with my students about global footprints and how they themselves impact their carbon footprint and how they impact their energy use and the things that decisions that they make every day impact the environment. So that's always an interesting conversation.
Well, yeah, and who imagines all of this? So we have these conversations sometimes on our talk show about the real cost of everything that we do. You know, who's really paying for some? If you get something cheap, who's really paying for it? Who's doing the work for next to nothing to make that happen?
Unintended consequences.
Right, right. So all of that's happening. One of our listeners sends some texts, and I'm gonna put them to the principal, and you can weigh in too. Uniforms. Why not have the kids at Chickahominy wear uniforms?
Well, I think there's a lot of benefits to uniforms. I think that you really take away a lot of the competition between wearing certain types of clothes and status kind of symbols. But, really, I think that, we're focused on kids coming and really learning at Chickahominy High School. And, I'm not really concerned as much about dress code. Obviously, kids got to dress appropriately and follow the school handbook. But, I'm worried about, are they focused? Are they engaged in classes? Do they feel they're learning in a safe, comfortable environment, an environment where they feel they can, really reach their potential? So that's kind of our focus. I think there's a lot of great things about uniforms, but I think we've got some bigger issues to solve and some bigger issues to tackle right now. And if kids are coming to school focused and learning, and we have some students that uniforms might even be a challenge to pay for, to be able to
buy them for the kids. And you buy them the lunch now, so that's the great equalizer that happens. Buy them the uniforms.
I'm not going to touch any
That's
budget
an
questions. I think there's some certainly merits to it, but I also think it's important for kids to showing up in school on time and paying attention in class and learning, and that's kind of our focus right now.
Right, you wouldn't be the decider of that anyway. You could decide to separate male students from female students. Has that crossed your mind?
No, it hasn't. I think getting students diversity, I think, is a great thing. I think having males and females in classes, the difference of how a male might approach a problem or situation, or a female might approach it in different perspectives, I think is enriching in the school environment. So I think it's a benefit that guys and girls are together and sharing their different experiences with each other in a classroom. I think it just helps out.
Well, the girls can show them up all the time, so you might as well allow that to happen.
That's one of the things that took me to get my doctorate. I was working on a master's in educational leadership, and one of the things we did was data-driven decisions. And at that point, I learned that for the most part, boys in the United States do not graduate from high school at the same rates that girls do. More girls graduate from high school. But at the same time, less girls go into STEM careers, so STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And I was curious as to what caused those differences. I don't have all the answers.
You've been a ton of places where you're the girl in the room.
Yes, it does. Now, at our school, I can't say that we are, the sciences are primarily taught by women at our school, but other schools it's the other way. I'm very, especially in physics and in computer science, it's a pretty low ratio of women to men. And that's, I'm working with the American Association of Physics Teachers. I'm a Step Up ambassador. And so one of the things that we do is implement some lesson plans into our classroom 2 a year to talk about careers in physics and what sort of things you can do with a career in physics if you get an undergraduate degree in it. And the other thing we talk about is why it is, what sort of things happen in culture that make girls think, I can't be a physicist. And so I think we've by acknowledging that those things are happening, we can change things.
And how do you inspire girls? How do you light that fire? I mean, you could be it's quite the mentor for girls if they recognize it and decide to kind of to look up to you that way.
I try to. I mean, but they have to find it in themselves. In this generation, I think they want to make the world a better place. And that's all of them. And so if I can show them that physics is a way to make the world a better place, or computer science, both of those, then they might choose that as a career. And we need people in physics, and we need people in computer science.
I have a dim view of Shikellamy. Blank, you know. I'm from another town around here where maybe some of the students might do even better on some topics. Who knows? What's really happening at Shikellamy? Tell me about the Colleen Epler-Roos and the Mark Coxes and the Holly Zimmermans and all the rest of your just superlative colleagues that are and the Ellen Saxtons that are just cranking it out and kids are beyond excellent. They're setting new standards.
Oh, yes. We've had kids, you know, our forensics program is one of the best in the area. We have regularly sent students to nationals to compete in our debate and forensics speech and debate. And, of course, most people are familiar with our musicals there. So just that, our award-winning band and our choir and kids going to states that way. So we're not just, you know, we've obviously got a fantastic, you know, wrestling program and our other sports programs. But I feel like we're well-rounded. And then we've got, you know, our students that are excelling in the sciences. We send students off to, you know, I've got a girl right now who's earning her PhD at Penn State. In traffic engineering. So she got an undergraduate degree in physics, and now she's up at Penn State working on a PhD in engineering. So good for her.
And who is that?
That's Rebecca Yoakum.
Okay. We're naming names here, so yeah. HIPAA doesn't qualify for education. So tell me about this idea. Shikellamy should really be on the map for a lot of good things.
Oh, if I can brag up our teachers and our students for a few seconds, there are some great things going on at Shikellamy High School. Some great students at our school that really push themselves academically. We've got a lot of students that are leaving the school, going to Susquehanna University for classes, going to Bloomsburg University for ACE courses as juniors and seniors. I think we've got one of the best vocational technical schools in the state of Pennsylvania at Sun. So a lot of our juniors and seniors are going up there and getting a trade. They're going to go out in the workforce. I think can make a difference in our country, in our community. And, you know, just our student body just really works really hard, and you know, we're very, very proud of them and the efforts that they have, and they're getting a quality education. We've got some great teachers, and as I kind of walk around the school and I see what's going on, you know, obviously we can always get better. Any school can, and we're finding ways to, you know, improve our education at Shikellamy High School, but we're doing a lot of great things, and a lot of kids are going off into the military, a two-year school, four-year school, and going out in the world, and they're doing some amazing things, so very, very proud of it.
We have a little time left for a closing remark. Anything you want to add that I didn't ask you? I have 100 more questions, so you have to come back. Thank you for whomever's covering your classes and whomever's doing this entrance routine that you do at the building. An additional comment, please, Mark.
No, we just really appreciate this opportunity to really talk about Shikellamy High School and the things that are going on and things that we're really proud of. But I appreciate this opportunity today.
All right, Colleen.
And I'd like to say that education is a fantastic career. So any of you guys out there who say, don't go into teaching, go into teaching, because we need people with passion.
Well, yeah, you have that. You have that. You know, you're missing your students right now because you know you're going to be a little bit late for the day.
They're going to be very sad I'm not there. I will hear about it.
Well, if you wanted to get up and leave right now because the interview's over, feel free so you get there ASAP. Dr. Colleen Epler-Roos is here. Shikellamy physics teacher, 2019 Teacher of the Year, a finalist, and Mark Freeman, still the new principal in his first year at Shikellamy High School. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks.